Bishus, the Rav Shlita, very humbling to speak in the presence of Rabbi Cohen. I'm sure he had better things to do this afternoon than to come and listen to me. Al Naharu Spovel Shom Yoshavnu Gambochinu Basofrenu Esioin. When the Jewish people who witnessed the Churban sat on the Haris Bovem, Al Haris Bovel, and they cried for the Beis Hamikdash, had cried for what they had lost. The Churban HaBayis, the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, has a two parts. One part, the loss of the source of our spirituality, of our connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And secondly, the terrible pain and sorrows and tragedies that the Jewish people endured having gone through that Churban HaBayis, having experienced destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And every year we have to relive that experience of Al Nahari Spovel Shom Yoshavnu Gam Bochinu. However, so many years later, it's a challenge to be able to really experience the loss of our spirituality and the tragedy that befell the Jewish people. The Lashon of the Kinnus that we say this morning, that we said this morning, is Al Churban Beis HaMikdash Kihuras V'Chihudosh Espoid V'Chol Shono V'Shono Mispeid Chodosh. I'll give a hesped, I'll eulogize the Beis HaMikdash every year, a new eulogy, a new hesped. How can you give a new hesped every year, almost 2,000 years after the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? The explanation is, in Golus, the Ribbono Shel Olam shows us again and again, in the lives that we live that seem to be so comfortable, so tranquil, so settled in Golus, B'chol Shana B'Shana, he gives us the opportunity to say a new eulogy, a new misped, a new hesped. A hesped on the life that we live as a result of what happened to that almost 2,000 years ago. If you're looking to understand the loss of our spirituality, Hashem has given us the opportunity, unfortunately, in 2018, every year again and again, to feel the loss of our ruchnius, of our connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, of those who have left the Torah away, or those who outside try to bring in the negative and evil forces to destroy us spiritually. To feel the pain. To feel the pain. To feel the pain of the Churban HaBayis. Every year, and this year in particular, the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us, unfortunately, the opportunity and the way to feel the tsar of the Golus, to feel the pain of being in exile, because everything that happens to us is a direct result of the fact that we're in Golus. And in effect, when we see on Tisha B'Av, it's al haris bovel shov yosham lo gam bchinu bzochrinu et tzion. We cry for the spiritual state that we find ourselves in, and we cry b'chol shana b'shana for the tragedies that have taken place this year in our lives. So it begs the question, what can we do to try and stop this, to try and bring it, that when it comes next year, Bezat Hashem, there won't be a misbeg chodosh v'chol shana v'shana, as we worry and fear what the next year has to bring. So Chazal tell us, it's Gemara and Yuma, the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of the three Averis Chamurois, Avodah Zarah, Gila Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. Bayis Sheni was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. Fascinating. Three cardinal sins. Person has to give his life rather than committing the three Averis Chamurois. Yet Sinas Chinam is on par. The second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The Medrash Shechet Toiv and the Yerushalmi bring the time of Ochov, when the Jewish people were sinning with Avodah Zarah and other sins. When they went to war, they were successful. They won the wars because there wasn't Lashon Hara and there wasn't Machlokes between them. Unlike the time of Shaul HaMelech, when even young children knew Mem Tes Ponim BaTorah, the young children knew Torah. Torah was all over the place. Yet, when they went to war, they lost. Because of Lashon Hara, there was Sinas Chinam between them. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? What's Sinas Chinam? What's the big deal? Why does so much depend on us getting along with each other? The Pasuk says, Vayhi Bishurim Melech Yisasif Roshi Om Yachar Shifte Yisrael. When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu the King in his place, in where the Ribbono should be? When is his glory magnified? When's his presence felt? When it's Yachad Shifte Yisrael. When Shifte Yisrael, the Shevatim of Klal Yisrael are one. The Ribbono Shelolam in his greatness made, created, that his glory is dependent on the fact that we are Yachad Shifte Yisrael, that there's unity and Achdus between us. The mashal is given. It's like two ships which are tied together at sea, and there's a palace, mansion built on top of them. If the two ships move away from each other, the palace falls. Hashem put his palace, his presence in the world, and his presence altogether, he made it dependent on the fact that Yachad Shifte Yisrael. And the reason for this is because we have a concept that a melech b'loy om, a king is only a king when he has a following, when he has a country to believe in him and follow him. The Ribbono Shel Olam is only a melech, he's only a king of the world, when he has a om, when he has a folk, when he has Klal Yisrael who serve him. But the essence of being an Am, of being a nation, means being united as a nation, being one as a nation. That's the definition of a nation. So for him to be a Melech, for it all to start off, to have the whole system begin, before keeping Torah and mitzvahs, of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, there has to be the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There has to be the Metzius of the God of the world. And a melech b'loy om, without a nation, he's no king. And being a nation means being united as a nation. And all the while that we're united, it could be behavior isn't that great. But still, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will have rachmanus on us. Because we're a one, we're an am, we're a nation, we're one. I'd like to give the moshul. Shabbos morning, so mommy stays in bed a bit longer, and the children go downstairs to play. Abba's gone to shul, daddy's gone to shul. And when she comes down at 9:45, the playrooms had a bomb hit it. Everything's all over the place. All the toys are out. One big mess. She goes into the kitchen, food all over the place, on the floor, on the table. And she feels herself slowly heating up. Then she goes into the dining room. And she sees all her precious children are sitting on the floor together, playing a game. For a change, Chaim and Mendel aren't fighting. Sarah and Rivka are actually talking to each other. They're all engrossed and focused on playing a game together. That melts her heart. Whatever you've done to my house, whatever you've done to ransack my house, she's a mother because her children are one. Seeing her children at one, playing together, being together, that dissolves everything. Had she come down, and on top of whatever else the mess there was 3 or 4 fights going on, as the norm is, it would have been very different. Kaviyachal, the Rebbeinu Shalom sees the destruction we're doing because we're only human beings. None of us are perfect. None of our behavior is the way it should really be if we're honest with ourselves. But if there's an achdus and a unity between each other, Rebbeinu Shalom says, my precious children are playing with each other. All the anger, Kaviyachal, all the anger, all the discontent from the Rebbeinu Shalom dissolves. It's gone away. So the question is, how is it possible, perhaps, to try and deal with this big problem? And the tragedy is that it's rampant. It's rampant between families, spouses, children, communities, within communities, between communities. Sinas Chemon fighting is rampant. Where does it come from? Why does it need to be that way? Why should it be that way? Typical Jewish family. Only 2 siblings, not talking to each other. Why should it be that way? So Chazal tell us, Kishayim Sheparzufeyem Einon Doimois, something to that effect. Like the face of every person is different and unique, Kein Deoiseyem Einon Shovis, something to that effect. The opinions, the outlook of life of every single individual is 100% unique. No 2 people think alike. And if you add into the mix that we are an Am Kashe Oiref, a stiff-necked, brazen nation, you have it. This Kashe Oiref, this stiff-neckedness, this brazenness has held us 2,000 years. If not for us being a strong, confident people, chutzpahdika people, We wouldn't have survived what we've survived. But at the same time, it brings with it its negatives. And therefore we find ourselves at home, in work, wherever, banging with people. Banging and banging. And the question is, what can I do as a person to be able to deal with this phenomenon and pull myself out of this machlokes, of this constant sinas chinam? In a way, it's not fair. That's the way I'm built. I'm a regular Jew, confident, with an opinion, with an approach. How is it possible to battle the inevitable machlokes that come from that? The chiddush over here is, the point I want to share over here is, we think peace and shalom is something which is automatic. If nothing goes wrong, if everything's okay, there'll be shalom, there'll be peace, there'll be unity. And that's a big mistake. To be a ish hashalom, to be a man of peace, that takes a conscious decision on your behalf to do that. If you left things on autopilot to go naturally, the natural state is machlokes. Because naturally, I'm a sensitive person, people are going to hurt me, I'm going to be hurting other people, and everyone's worried about their ego, their existence. And if I leave things as they are, the natural state is we're on the way from machlokes. My blessed grandmother, Aleha Shalom, used to tell me, she's blessed with 3 daughter-in-laws. And she used to speak how wonderful and fantastic they are. Many times she told me, do you think I don't see negatives in my daughter-in-laws or in my sons for that matter? How come do I love them so much? How come I'm so obsessed with them as the most wonderful people? She made a conscious decision that relationships in life are more important than the things that get under my skin. That the relationship between me and my husband, the relationship between myself and my children-in-law, my shul, my community, is more important than the things that will get under my skin and the things that are going to hurt me momentarily. It says in Bamot Tzi, Rabbi Yochanan says, the Chumran Habayis was because they went al pi din. They were not willing to go lifnim mishuras hadin, beyond the letter of the law. Yes, to have shalom, to have peace, you have to go beyond the letter of the law. Because there's people who are going to hurt you. People are going to say things that are going to hurt you. That's life. There's going to be things that you'll take an offense to. From your family, from your children, from your sisters, from your brothers. That's life. If you're not willing to go lifnim mishuras hadin, which means a conscious decision that I'll not let silly things get in the way of the relationships that are so important for me, that's anti-sinas chinam. That's avoiding baseless hatred. Because it's so baseless that years later you'll ask them, why are you still not talking? And they won't know why. Because there was once a story. What story? I've forgotten the story. We just don't speak. I have a friend now who's making contact for the first time with a first cousin. Middle-aged people. And they were held away from each other because the parents, the brothers, had a fight, had an argument. And he said his father was very, very upset to hear that he's made contact with his first cousin. And he said to him, "Dad, tell me, what was it then that made everything go sour?" He said his father could honestly not remember what it was. Was it that there was no birthday card, or someone didn't come to someone's simcha, wasn't invited, whatever it might be? And years and years and years of two brothers not speaking to each other, because they let that get in the way. Lifnim Meshura Sadeh means I live with a conscious decision. A decision in my mind that the relationships I have are more important than the silly things that can get in the way. There's an amazing vod, say from the Oyv Yisrael, the Apter Rav. Someone's giving a drosha, and in one of his speeches he said, in every single parsha, there's a remez for Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. You shall love your fellow Jew. So one Chutzpahdik Chosid puts his hand up and says, "Rebbe, where in Parshas Balak is there a remez for Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha?" And the Apter Rav, the Chassan Levi Brocha, answered the following. He said, simple. Balak is Rosh Teves, Bohafto, Lereacha, Kamoicha. So this Chosid's eyebrows went up. Bohafto is a base, it's supposed to be above. Lereacha, okay. Kamoicha is supposed to be a chof, not a kuf. How can Bohafto, Lereacha, Kamoicha be a remez for Bohafto, Lereacha, Kamoicha? Said after all, if you're going to be worried about little Oisius, you won't have any v'hafta l'reacha kamoicha. Very strong, so strong. If you're a person who's makpid, everyone has to do for me exactly how I want. The phone calls, the this calls, the that calls. Everyone has to fit into the way I see things have to fit in. Forget v'hafta l'reacha kamoicha. I saw B'Shem Nedva Shmuel. It says, "V'Elokim Yevakech Esanirdof." Hashem supports, helps the person who's the one being run after, the victim. So he asks, why does it say Hashem Yevakech Esanirdof? They say Hashem Yazoy. Hashem helps the one who's the victim. Helps him. What does he mean? Mevakesh means to ask. Mevakesh. Well, ask him what? So he says, the Rebbeinu Shalom is Mevakesh the Nirdov. I'm always the Nirdov. In every situation, someone's wronged me. I'm the Nirdov. I'm always the one who's been wronged. And the Likim Mevakesh the Nirdov, he asked the Nirdov what? Even though you're a nirdof, go and make shalom. That's what Hashem's mevakesh. He asks of the nirdof. Because we're always a nirdof. Someone didn't invite me to their wedding, I'm a nirdof. Someone said to me something which hurt me, I'm a nirdof. I'm the victim. Yeah, Hashem says to the victim, yes. Go deal with it. And even if you try and it doesn't work, let it go. Rabbi Bernstein, Zichasan Livrocha, used to say by a wedding to a couple, you're about to go and build a bais. You're going to build a home, which is a mikdash ma'at, which is a small temple. What holds together? What holds together? What held together? The Mishkan So we're told in the Torah is the Bria Chatichon, which was a pole which went through the center of the Proshim and held together the whole binyan, the whole structure of the Mishkan. The Bria Chatichon, incredible, a nest. It used to bend the corners. As it came to a corner, it bent. Next corner, it bent. We had a pole made out of metal, gold, and I was able to bend. And that was the secret of holding together the Mishkan. He used to tell the young couple, if you want to be able to hold together your Mishkan, it's based on one thing only. Vitur. Willingness to bend. When it comes to a corner, are you willing to bend? Are you willing to be mevater? A shul is also a mikdash ma'at. It's also a base hamikdash, and the same rules apply. You want a shul to exist, to be able to stand strong, to be able to be a strong presence, to be able to be one. We have to know, as being part of communities, whatever the community is, you want the community to exist, you want the Beis HaMedrash to exist, it's the yicholas and ability of mature people to be able to say, let it go. Oyv Yisrael says, Toiv Shnayim Min HaEchod, he says a Taich, Toiv Shnayim, whenever there's a relationship, it's good Min HaEchod, even from one of them. If one of them is someone who's willing to be mevater, it can exist. Toiv shnayim. Any relationship can exist min ha'echod as long as there's one mature person who's willing to be a mevater, who's willing to let go. Someone who's got a bigger view of life. Someone who sees things in a bigger way. So that's maybe one thing which I say to myself. In looking to be able to fight in Aschinom, there's a conscious decision from me to say, I'm a person who sees things which are more important. Shalom's going to come from me being conscious of pushing away trivialities. Banal Nakuda. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Asay l'chorav, Kinei l'chochove, v'avadon eskolodom l'kav s'chus. Very strange sequence. What's the connection between having a rabbi, having a friend, and being done l'kav s'chus? And Reb Chaim V'lozhin says the most incredible, incredible idea. He says the following. It's very difficult to have a rabbi. It's very difficult to have a friend. Because the rabbi said something to me today, which was very painful to me. He doesn't understand my situation. A friend hurt me today. Didn't speak to me the way I want him to speak to me. So the Chaim V'lozhin, Asay l'chorav, k'nei l'chochove, it's only possible to retain a connection with your Rebbe and your friend if you're a don l'kav s'chus. If you're able to say, hey, maybe my friend had a hard day. Maybe the Rav today also wasn't feeling his best. If you're unable to be a don l'kav s'chus, to step out of your little world and understand that somebody else maybe is having a hard day, no way you can have a connection with the Rebbe. Forget having a connection, build your relationship with friends. Hevedon l'chalodon l'chav s'chus means, I understand, everyone in my life could be having a hard day. And I can't take them on that and destroy Kisharim because of that. There's a beautiful story, they say. There was a Levaya in America. And by the Levaya, the family noticed there was a Chassidish fellow there, very clearly an Israeli. who was crying and crying and crying by the funeral, by the levaya. So after the levaya, one of the family members approached this gentleman. He says, "You're clearly not from here. Did you know the nifta? Did you know the person who passed away? Seeming you're very upset about the situation." To which he replied, "Our mashulach, I came here from Eretz Yisrael to collect money. And I was staying in digs, wherever they were, I was staying, that's where I was sleeping. And I came back this morning, after davening, to find that all the money which I'd raised so far on my trip here had been garnished, had been taken away. I was devastated. I wanted to cry. But I can't walk down the main street, whatever avenue, bawling my eyes out. So I looked on the Modois in Shul, where there's a Levaya. And that's the place I went to cry, because that's the place where everyone's crying. Says Rabbi Biderman, when someone comes to you one day, and you make a half a comment, and he downloads on you, and you're thinking, for crying out loud, what did I do so wrong for today to this fellow to deserve this treatment? You're just a funeral. He's had a hard day. He's looking for a place to vent. He's looking for a place to download. You provided the service of giving him a place and opportunity to download. There's a beautiful gematria. Pikeach. The word pikeach, someone who's a balseichel, a clever person, a pikeach. The gematria of the word pikeach is 188. Sad. Sad means aside, a sad, one way. Sad plus sad. That means if you see, sad is a way of viewing something. I have one sad. I have a way of seeing something. Sad is gematria 94. A pikeach is somebody who sees two stodim. He sees two sides. He sees his own side and he sees the other person's side. Now, if you take a pikeach plus a pikeach, that's 188, plus another 188, you will end up with, too tired to work this out, 386, which is magically the exact gematria of the word shalom, peace, which is 300, is that 376. Wow! Wow! 86. Okay, thank you. Wow! Isn't that incredible? Shalom comes. Real shalom comes. Peace comes. When I have two people. When I have two people who both people can see both sides of the story. That's shalom. The ultimate peace is when two people can step out their own little lives, own little worlds, to understand why somebody said something. Maybe he was having a hard day. Maybe there was something which I was doing incorrect. That's a recipe of pikeach times two mikshalom. There's a story told about the refrain Zalman Magulius, who was a big Talmud Chacham and a very, very wealthy man. lived in Europe. The story is told that he had some shlichei mitzvah, he had some shalachim come to his house, and while they were queuing to see him, unintentionally, one of them knocked over a glass, expensive jar or canteen, whatever there was, and it smashed the smithereens. And the Reb Zalman just stayed calm, dealt with the issue. But the Rebbetzin came in, and she was up in fire. He said, I can't believe it, it's a family, something from the family, it's something very expensive, something very, very special. And she was shouting, why didn't you say anything to them? Why didn't you make them pay for it? Why didn't you not deal with it? And he said to her, I can't explain to you now the way I reacted. But if you make a note on your calendar, in exactly a year today, I'll explain to you why I didn't give them the real hosing down, why I didn't deal with it the way you wanted me to deal with it. The Kachava, his wife, made a note on the calendar for a year's time, and sure enough, she came to B'Chaim Zalman to ask him, what's the pshat in what happened a year ago? So he calls her and he asks, he says to Rebbetzin, my dear Rebbetzin, what was the whole story about? Do you remember what happened? So she starts scratching her head. She says, yeah, there was the canteen, which was the thing. He said to her, how do you feel about it now? She says, she started chuckling, she says, she says, well, we've had six canteens since that one. And, Baruch Hashem, you know, oh, come on, shine, say it was very nice, shine, we move on. Senator Ephraim Zalman to her, it took you a year to do what I did immediately. Why should I waste a year? In a year's time, it doesn't make a difference. Who cares? Someone scratched your car. Someone did this. Someone did that. Give her a year's time. Who cares? He said, I took a whole year. And I did it in a few minutes, in a few seconds. What strength. So hard in the time of the Nisoyim. When you're so upset and annoyed. To have that outlook. But to try and remember, what's bothering me now so much with that guy's guts? Give it 6 months. It's nothing. Stupid. Or do I react now? We have a situation when years later, people have forgotten. Of course they've forgotten what the reason for what the machlokes was. It was something stupid. It was only applicable for the next month or two. Give it 15 years down the line. Of course you don't remember. I saw a bid ask the question. We know that if Tisha B'Av's a time supposed to be working on Sinas Chinam, it's ironic, on that day it's also B'Shei L'Shalom. It's the one day when you can't say hello to your friend. No hello, no bye bye. What do you mean? Today's the day of Sinas Chinam. Today's the day we have to be able to be as friendly as we can with other people. And he says the following. Hello, bye-bye. Hello, bye-bye. How are you? When you say how are you to somebody, you've moved on before he's even answered how he is. And if he says to you, not great today, you don't know what, you're completely knocked off, you think, I've got to go. He says, Tish B'Av's a day when the silly, sort of, very sort of external P's and Q's we're putting away. The hello bye-byes that you say to the guy you can't stick, the guy you hate his guts, you're saying hello bye-bye to him every morning. Cut that out. Today's a day of thinking, of really thinking about those things that are in your heart, the feuds, the fights, the discomforts, that exists between you and your friends. Let's get internal. Let's deal with real issues today. Push away the stuff that you do every day, just high by. Today's a day to reflect. Where in my life do I have situations that are a tragic result from stupidity of my ego or things I was bothered by so long ago? Is there a time to really make amends? Let's all together, first of all, make a conscious decision with people of peace, which means I go the outlook to life. I'm not so vulnerable. I know I'm going to be hurt because that's the way we live life. But I'm making a conscious decision. To me, relationships come before silly things. Children, parents, brothers, sisters, whatever it might be. Bidon the kafsuchus, realize the other person could have a difficult day. Get a bigger picture. Become a pikeach. Because a pikeach and a pikeach, that's where shalom comes. And if we allow ourselves to try and give ourselves a head look for 6 months later, we'll understand ourselves. Whether there was a meal by that dinner or not is really irrelevant. And hopefully we'll be zeichem mitzvah Hashem. And next year, we won't have a Tisha B'av. Just go ahead. Yeah, I think.